Montgomery has extended the welcome to all of us, and especially those who are visiting. We thank you for being with us on today. And if this is your first time, we would encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. They'll be asked for in a later part of our service. You'll find one in the pocket pew in front of where you're sitting. If you don't see one, please raise your hand, and someone will make sure that you get one. Fill it out and leave it with us, and we will certainly thank you for coming, being with us on today. The passage of Scripture that Brother Terrence read unto our hearing is Matthew 21, and the verses 12 through 14. These passages describe a second occasion that Jesus had to cleanse the temple of something that was going on that shouldn't have been going on in the temple. John chapter 2, you'll read of an account at the early part of Jesus' ministry where this very thing happened, where he came in and cleansed the temple. And then on the occasion of his last week of his earthly ministry, just before he would go up old Golgotha's hill and die upon the cross, he came into the temple again, and he found something going on. I'd like to reread it for emphasis' sake. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. There was an abuse of the temple. There were people there doing something that they should not have been doing. And Jesus was greatly disturbed by this. John's account of the first time that he cleansed the temple said that he ran them out with whips. That let me know that Jesus was disturbed about something that was going on that should not have been going on. The priests who had become corrupt at this time, and they were allowing people to sell in the temple court, in any part of the temple was referred to as the temple. They were allowing people to sell animals and other things that they needed, and to exchange coins for the people that would be coming in, that they might have the things that were necessary to do the duties of the temple. And they were abusing this privilege. Jesus said to them again, My house shall be called a house prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. These people, individuals, they were where they needed to be. They were at the temple. This was the Passover week, and that was a feast that required all people of God to come to Jerusalem and to participate in the Passover. So they were where they should have been. They were in the right place, but guess what? They were doing the wrong thing. That's what I want to talk about today. Wrong things in the right place. And I want us to notice something as we go through this lesson this morning. As we consider our relationship with our God. And I hope to encourage us to make sure that we are in the right place, but also make sure that we are doing the right thing in the right place. Number one this morning, church, we can be sure that the Lord has a place for us to be. And it's the right place that the Lord has for us to be. During the time of Jesus, of course, this would be during the Old Testament period. The right place for his people to be was at and in the temple on this Passover week. But Jesus upbraided these people, if you will, rebuked them, if you will. And he said again, my house, as he cast them out, as he drove them out, he says, my house shall be called the house of prayer. He was referring to something that had been said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 56 and verse number 7, where he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. The temple had been erected, and of course in Jesus' time, this would be the second temple. But the very first temple had been erected during the reign of King Solomon. David had in his heart to build the temple, but God did not allow him to build the temple. But he says, your son will build the temple. And when Solomon had completed building the temple, the Bible says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 12. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself. What was he talking about? The temple. I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And then when we drop on down to verse number 14, I believe it is, the Bible says, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll heal their land. And the next passage he says, and forgive their sins and heal their land. And the next passage says, as we look, the Bible says, he says, now mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. My house shall be called the house of prayer. My eyes and my ears shall be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. So my point that I'm driving home is that in Old Testament times, the Lord had a place, and he wanted people to do the right thing in his place. Otherwise, he never would have driven them out. So he says, basically, you got to get out of here. You are abusing, you are desecrating, you are defiling my house. This is a place of sacrifice, this is a place of prayer, but you are abusing by your actions that you're doing here. The Lord has a place. In Old Testament times, his place was the temple. In New Testament times that we are living in now, he has a place, and that place is the church. It is the church, and the church is composed of people who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, who have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Paul, when he wrote to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." The church now, which is the house of God, is composed of people that I've said that have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19, Paul would say this. He says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." So, God had a place in Old Testament times. God has a place in New Testament times, which is the church. And members make up the body of the church. And the Bible says that our bodies then becomes the temple of God. And we do not belong to ourselves. Therefore, we do not have the liberty to do anything that we want to do in the body. These people that were buying and selling and exchanging coins in the temple of God did not have the liberty to do that in God's place, because God had said, as we've already said, shown in the scriptures, that my house shall be called a house of prayer and sacrifice, but you have made it a den of thieves. They were in the right place, but they were doing the wrong thing. You see, as members of the body, we are to submit ourselves unto our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to God Almighty. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the body, and he's the Savior of the body." Verse 24 says this, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ," as the church is subject unto Christ, "so let the wives be to their own husband in everything." But I want to concentrate on the church is to be subject to Christ. The church is to be in submission to Christ. The church is to be in submission to her head. And the head of the church, the Bible says, is Christ. Therefore, we are to be in submission to Christ. Therefore, again, we are not at liberty to do what we want to do in the body of Christ. But we must submit ourselves, and we must bring ourselves under the control of Christ and live by his commandments. We are that temple. The Bible says again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says that we are the temple of God. So, being the temple, then, we are to be in submission to Christ. Well, to be in submission to Christ means, implies, that there are some rules that we must follow. There are some regulations. There are some guidelines. There are some instructions that we are to be in submission to. We are the body of Christ. We don't belong to ourselves. He has bought us. We belong to him. Therefore, we must go by his rules. The Bible says that the Lord is the head of the church again, and he gives us the rules. But guess what? The rules are not his rules. He got the rules from somebody else. The rules he got was from God. So he only administers the rules. So secondly then, not only does the Lord have a place, but the Lord place has rules. And Jesus Christ is the administrator of the rules of God. Listen to him talk in John chapter 6 and verse number 38. He says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I didn't come down to set the rules. I just came down to administer the rules. Listen to him again in John chapter 12 and verse number 49. He says this. He says, for I have not spoken of myself. He says, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandments are what? Life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So Jesus then administers the rules that the Father has spoken unto him. Listen to the Father speak in Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5. The Bible says, while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice out of that cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We are to hear Christ. But Christ gets his rules from God the Father. No wonder the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his dear Son. So the Lord's place has some rules. Jesus administers the rule. And it would do us well this morning that we go by the rules. Again, we are in the right place, those of us who are members of the body of Christ, those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and members of the body. We're in the right place. But let's make sure that we are doing the right thing. Because we can be in the right place and be just like these people in the temple. They were there in the right place, but they were doing the wrong thing. We must be so careful that we get God's approval and that we do it. Everything that we do, it must meet God's approval. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17, he says, whatsoever you do in word, how you talk, and what you do, in word or deed, do all, the Bible said, not some, but do all, in what? The name of the Lord Jesus, by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So everything that we do then, it must be approved of by God the Father and by Jesus Christ. Again, we're in the right place. Make sure we're doing the right thing. We just cannot do anything to please the Lord. Anything just won't go. You just can't have it your way. If you want it your way, as that long time slogan, I don't guess they even use the slogan anymore, that Burger King had, you can have it your way there. You want lettuce? You can have lettuce. You don't want pickle? You don't have to have pickle. But not in God's house. Whatever God has specified for us to have, that's what we got to have. So I say to us again that we must make sure that we do everything to please God. We just cannot please ourselves. It is evident that Enoch had the right idea. The Bible says this concerning Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God, the Bible says, had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Before God translated him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We need to have the same testimony, church, that we please God. And the only way we're going to please God, again, going back to Colossians 3 and 17, whatever we do in word, whatever we do in deed, we must do it by the authority of Jesus Christ, we need to be about the business of pleasing God. You see, it's not about us. It's about God. So many folks want to please God. I rather want to please themselves. But we need to please God. Be like Enoch again. Please God. Even Christ did not please himself, the Bible says. Did you realize that? The Bible says Christ didn't please himself. We can read that in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproach of him that reproached thee fell on me. So if Christ didn't please himself, what makes you think we can please ourselves? He's our example. And I believe, Brother Montgomery, you preached on him being our example last week. Christ is our example. He's our perfect example. So if he didn't please himself, again, what make you and I think that we can please ourselves? We just can't do it and please God. Unfortunately today, many rules are being broken in the Lord's place. Many rules are being broken in the Lord's place. Folks are not satisfied with what God has laid out for them to do. So many go about changing the rules. I'm reminded of 1 Samuel chapter 8, Brother Hall, as we talked about in Wednesday night class. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 4, the Bible says this, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel of Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We ain't satisfied being like God wants us to be. We want to be like other folks. And so many times that happens in the church. Folks want to be like somebody else rather than what God wants them to be like. It's old-fashioned to keep doing it that way. We got to be more relevant, more up-to-date. What are folks looking for? God is always an up-to-date God. His word is always up to date. His rules are always up to date. Just stick with the rules and you'll be up to date. Make us a king, they say, like all the nations. We want to be like other folks. And so many things are being done in the body of Christ. And I pray that it'll never be done here just to please folks, just to draw a crowd. Are numbers important to God? Yes. But numbers need to be right numbers. Folks need to be in the right place, and they need to be doing the right thing. We hear things today such as having traditional service and contemporary service. Where did that come from? If you want traditional service, you come at this hour. If you want contemporary service, you come at that hour. Where do you get that from? I thought it's just one service that we're to give to God. That is service that is pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Women preachers. Where did that come from? It certainly didn't come from God. It came from somebody who wants to change the rules. Women elders. Oh, yes. There are some places that advocate that. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. I'm talking about in the Lord's place. I hope and trust that it never gets in this area. So many people are caught up in entertainment. You got to do this to keep folks. You got to do that to keep folks. Just stay with the Bible. And you can make the Bible relevant without going outside the realms of the Bible to entertain, to please, and to soothe folks. Hearts and minds. If God's word don't soothe you, you don't need to be soothed. Stay with the word of God. Praise teams and all that kind of stuff have crept into the body of Christ. They say, Brother Travis, if you got a good voice, you can get with this group over here. And we're going to have four or five folks to pray, have a praise team to start. And sometimes they even said, Brother Purcell, good to see you again. And we're going to do this before the worship to get people warmed up for the worship. Well, you need to be warmed up before you get here. Praise team. Your voice is not right. You don't get to be a part of that. I thought the whole church was supposed to be the praise team. All of us are supposed to be praising God. Yes, indeed, all of these things are contrary to the rules. In the right place, but doing the wrong things. Individual Christians living contrary to the rules of God. I'm taking it out of the, quote, congregational setting. I'm taking it to our personal lives. We're in the right place. We make up the body of Christ, but living contrary to the rules that God has laid down for us to live our lives and pattern our lives by. When we do that, we are doing the wrong thing, even though we're in the right place. When there's envy and when there's strife, that's contrary to the rules of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says this, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" He had talked to them in chapter 1 about all of the divisions that were existing there. It was against the rules of God. That's why he begged them, as he said in verse number 10, "I beseech you, brethren, that you all speak the same thing and that you all have the right mind among you there." Yes, indeed, envy and strife is contrary to the rules of God. Because when you got envy and when you got strife, you got all kinds of generals, all kinds of evil stuff. I didn't just say that. The Bible says that in James chapter 3. Look at what the Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse number 14. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth." Verse number 15 says this, this wisdom descended not from above. God didn't give you that kind of wisdom. It does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And verse number 16 says this, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." That's a guess. The rules of God. But yet, folks, there are some folks in the body of Christ that's not satisfied unless they got some strife going on, unless they're jealous of somebody. We just can't live like that. If we're in the right place, we need to be living according to the rules, doing the right thing while we are in the right place. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 31, the Bible says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." God's word says those things should not be a part of us. It's contrary to the rules, even though you may be in the right place. Respect to persons being shown. That should not be in our individual lives, let alone in the congregational setting. It should not be in our individual lives. We should not have respect of person. James said it like this. James chapter 2, verse number 8. He says, "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of person, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as what? Transgressors." And you know what will keep us out of heaven, brothers and sisters? Sin, respect a person, will keep us out of heaven. It's against the rules. If we have respect a person, then we need to get rid of that type of attitude. Even though we're in the right place, we are engaging in the wrong thing. So I say to us again that we must not be those kind of people. If you're boastful and if you're prideful, even though you're in the right place, you're doing the wrong thing. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. He said, there are six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the very first thing on the list of those six things is a what? Proud look. Somebody who is full of pride. Somebody who thinks that they are better than everybody else. Somebody thinks that they are Mr. Big Stuff. Yes, indeed. We must not have that type of attitude. A proud look. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 18 that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So sooner or later, that proud look, you're going to come tumbling down. Yes, indeed, we must not have that type of attitude. Even though we are in the right place, it's the wrong thing to do in our lives. Living immoral lives. That's the wrong place, wrong thing to do in the right place. Paul had to teach these Ephesian Christians. In Ephesians chapter 5, and verse number 1, he says this, but you therefore, be ye therefore, rather, followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given, rather, himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication, all uncleanness, all covetousness, let it not be once named. The devil wants us to once name it. Brother Greg Miller made a comment this morning in the Bible class and said, the devil wants you to just do it one time. You do it one time, pretty soon you're going to do it two times. Pretty soon you're going to do it three times. Now, I'm adding all of that. He didn't say it, but that's what he was talking about. The devil just wants to do it one time. But the scripture says, the rule says, let it not be once named among us. Now, I know we mess up. That's why he gives us the opportunity, hopefully so that he doesn't take us life in our messing up. He gives us the opportunity to repent of our sins so that we can get back into the right relationship with him. But the idea is that we should not have the mindset that we're going to even do it one time. That's why he said, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. That just don't become saints is what he said. Somebody may say to you, Sister Ada, no, I better not use a lady, Brother Travis. Somebody may say, that suit you got on just don't become you. That's what he said. These things that he's talked about, don't let it be once named among you. This just don't become saints. Saints ain't supposed to live like that. So he said, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, not foolish talking, not jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I say to us again, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, we can be in the right place, but we can be doing the wrong thing. And you know what? The last thing I want to leave with us this morning, the Lord will execute judgment on those who are in the right place but doing the wrong thing, who do not repent of their sins. The Lord is going to execute judgment. Isn't that what the Lord did when he went into the temple? He executed some judgment there. He didn't let them just stay in there, but he drove them out of there. And he says again, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. He's going to execute judgment there. He cast them out that were misusing the temple. They were defiling the temple. And you know the Bible says concerning the body of Christ, those who make up the body of Christ. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17. He says this is what he said. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God do what? Destroy. Do you want to be destroyed? He's not talking just about body. He's talking about soul. To him, he says, God shall destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And 1 Peter chapter 1 says that we are to be holy, for he is holy. Yes, indeed, he will execute judgment on those who break the rules. And you know what? The Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. What is the house? The church. It's going to begin at the house of God. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Judgment is going to begin at the house of God. So we need to make sure then that we don't fall in the hands of a living God, because God is going to execute judgment. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 30 and 31, the Bible says, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I want to say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, make sure that you don't fall in the hands of a living God. Make sure that God does not execute his wrath and his judgment upon you. And I must do the same thing. Make sure that God does not execute his wrath and judgment upon me. So though we are in the right place, those of us who are members of the body of Christ, it's possible for us to be doing the wrong thing. And that's why you hear me say so many times, it's not just enough just to be a member of the church, but you must be a member of the church, living faithfully, doing the right thing while we are members of the church. They were at the temple. They were at the right place, but they were doing the wrong thing. So I want to encourage us this morning again that every time that we are tempted to do the wrong thing, I hope that the words of the Lord will resonate in our mind. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. In other words, you're doing the wrong thing. Every time you're tempted to lie, let that scripture resonate in your mind. Every time you're tempted to cheat, let that scripture resonate in your mind. Every time you're tempted to steal, let that scripture resonate in your mind. Every time you're tempted to become envious of somebody, let that scripture resonate in your mind. Because judgment will begin at the house of God. Jesus said this, the administrator of God's rule, the spokesman for God. Jesus said this in John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word has one that judges him. For the words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. Jesus went into the temple and saw those there that were buying and selling, exchanging money. He drove them out. He says, my house shall be called the house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. Don't let Jesus say that to us. That's why I said, every time we're tempted to do something that's wrong, let those words resonate in our mind. Because Jesus can't truly bless us. God can't truly bless us spiritually if we are going to just consistently break his rules. You notice the last verse that was read, the terrorist read? The Bible says, and then the lame and the blind came to him and he healed him. He had to cleanse the temple first before he could bless these people. God will not bless us spiritually if we keep walking around with a dirty temple and a defiled temple. So let's make sure again we're in the right place. But let's make sure that we keep on doing the right thing. And I know from time to time we're going to mess up. But when we mess up, as they say, fess up. Repent. Turn away from it. Get back into the good graces of God. I hope I've said something to help somebody this morning. Not to just become complacent that we are members of the body, but make sure that we are living like God expects us to live. So if you're here there this morning, and maybe you're not a member of the body, the church, the one that you can read about in the New Testament, the Lord has one. It's the church of Christ. And he wants all men everywhere to be members of it.
Ephesians 3 and verse number 6. It's his body, Ephesians 1, verse 23. There is one body, Ephesians 4 and verse number 4. He's the Savior of that body, Ephesians 5 and verse number 23. Do you want to be saved? Then you need to be a member of the body. But not just a member, but doing the right thing. How do you become a member? You hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15, 7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13, 3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10 and verse 32. Go down in a water grave of baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you, to the church, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Becoming a member of the church then he expects you and demands and requires that you live faithful unto death. And he says, I'll give you a crown of life. Revelations 2 and verse 10. I want you in the body, he says. But not only do I want you in the body, but I want you to be faithful. I want you to be living according to the rules. And if you do that, I'll give you a crown of life. You need to come this morning. I encourage you to come. You're already a member, but as you examine your life, you may realize this morning that I'm in the right place, but I'm doing some wrong things. Turn away from those wrong things. Get back in the right relationship with God. So if you need to confess of an errant way, would you do that? Maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, while we're standing, while we're singing, would you come?